is centering on those scriptures that were read earlier from Genesis 1 and Matthew 28. And the title of this message is Called to Reign with Christ. The dominion of God's people for God's kingdom. And as I present this message, I'd like for you to understand in a way that I'm presenting this for two reasons. First is that I really feel like this is something that we as a church need to hear. That's always important. But also, I want you to understand that this is a large part of what I believe God has placed on my heart as a pastor. One of the things that will take place tomorrow at the business meeting is to take action on the pastoral search committee's recommendation of calling me as not only or out of interim pastorship into the lead pastorship position. And that was a few weeks ago, and the announcement was made that that's the result of their work. And tomorrow, the business meeting will take place, and that's going to be one of the things that will be done. And as I was considering both the question that was posed by the Pastoral Search Committee and my ministry, I must tell you that I have changed in terms of who I am. In some ways, not very drastically. I mean, my kids recognize me as their father. Things haven't changed that much. But I want you to know that the Lord has impressed upon me in those years in which I was at rest, so to speak. Those years in which the Lord has worked in and through this church, through the leadership of Pastor John Pethel. And then with the interaction of the board after Pastor John left and my involvement once again and now as interim pastor, the Lord has shaped aspects of my life and my ministry. And I present this message to you with that understanding that this is a large portion of my heart. I truly believe, and although I understood this and believed this years ago, I believe it is even stronger now. And it's this main message that the Lord has not left us here after salvation to simply wait for heaven. That God's intention for us is to be salt and light in the midst of corruption and darkness. And that we're to be more than survivalists, that we're to be conquerors. That we're to be victors. That we're to engage the enemy with boldness. Yes, with gentleness and respect, as Peter says, but with boldness. With a fearlessness that is characteristic not of some superhero or some heroic person, but of Jesus Christ himself. With the same character, with the same intention, the same resolve and purpose that Jesus had. I truly believe that the people of God should be the type of people in this world that when the world looks at us, when the unsaved look at us, they see Jesus Christ. And it is all to his glory. I began the passage, or the passage that I will begin with, is in Genesis chapter 1. And looking back to that passage, just focusing on a few of the verses, that God on the sixth day, he created all living creatures on land. And God's intention was to fill the earth with the abundance of creatures. I mean, you understand that this is the Word in John chapter 1, the Word made all things, and the Word spoke these things into existence. All that was at that time, the livestock, the creeping things. God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds. Verse 25. And everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. God made it all. The Word, God the Son, is the one who spoke into existence all of these things. He spoke into existence things that don't even exist today. The variety of the creatures, yes, it has changed with the biological capabilities and structures within those living things, but they were still according to their kind. This is not an evolutionary issue. It is an issue of the order of God, according to its kind, the livestock. And yes, there's a variety of livestock, of cattle and of sheep and of goats, but there's still sheep and goats and cattle. There's varieties of dogs and birds of many kinds, but there's still dogs and birds. And the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and God made. And I'd like you to see that God saw that it was good. And we also say, amen. Yes, Lord, it is good. And God said, let us make man in our image. And this was a special care that God had in making man. And with man, he gave him his own image. It's a very important point that God gave man, the first man and the first woman, his image. A tremendous work that he did in making all of these creatures, and yet he spends time and he says, like, make man, not according to my imagination. And you consider how imaginative is God, how creative is God? Just look around creation. He's even more imaginative because there are things that we have not yet seen, that we have not yet discovered. That is the imagination of Christ, our Creator. And yet he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, let us make him. I won't go into all of what it is to be made in the image of God, but please understand that this is in part why we are at the top of creation, is because of the image of God. This is why we are people or beings who are rational, that we can think, that we can reason. This is why we have the capacity beyond any of the living creatures to create and to make. This is why, because we have been blessed in this way. And with this image, God also gave man authority, and he said to man, let them have dominion, from verse 26. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I've said this at other times when preaching on similar things, that God has given man the capacity and the authority to have control over all the animals. Now, there's some animals that it's very difficult to control. I mean, a blue whale. You don't put one of those things in your aquarium. Okay. Now, what control is needed? I don't know that there isn't a need for a control over the blue whale or other whales, for that matter. But part of having dominion is also being a protector. You see, having dominion doesn't mean that you own it. It means that you are a steward. That means you govern, you rule. And God has given man dominion over all, even the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over all things on land. To understand that, Wes, in going over once again, that we are given the image of God, and with that we are blessed with the authority to have dominion. And God said to man, and God said to all the living creatures, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is what God told us. For thousands of years, man has, in varying degrees, demonstrated or exercised this dominion. And please do not let any supposed environmentalists give you the idea that dominion is somehow evil or harmful. It is what God intended. Yes, there are poor examples of dominion. There are those that mismanage and those that destroy, and they are harmful. But dominion does not mean that we worship the earth. Dominion does not mean that we give precedence over animals, over the needs of human beings. Dominion means that we manage properly. And when the Lord said that we are to have dominion and or be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, he was talking to mankind. And yes, because of sin, man has lost his way and has lost his understanding of what it is to have proper dominion, and even understood and misapplied being fruitful and multiplying. And we come up with these theories about overpopulation, and that it is dangerous for the earth to be populated with human beings to such an extent because there's not going to be enough food. There's not going to be enough resources. We're going to run out of both water and energy resources and things like that. Please understand, it is God who supplies all of our needs, and he has designed the earth to support us. And we're to manage it. We're to have dominion over it. When we understand this, please know that this is for every person, for every people, every culture. This is not just for the church. This is for all of men, all mankind. And the word of God spoken to us humans is, be faithful in this. Be faithful in this. Be fruitful and multiply. Don't worry about what appears to be the lack of food. Manage the ground. Manage your crops. It will produce. With proper care, the Lord ensures that we will supply. There will be a supply. Well, Pastor, what about those in India who are suffering? There's so many people who are impoverished and hungry. What about those in other parts of the world in which there's floods and famines and pestilence? And there doesn't seem to be, this provision that you're talking about. To understand that the Lord has provided, an example of this is in the United States, in our country, we have most often a surplus of grain every year. And this surplus is such that it's years worth of supply. That these things are put in silos and they're stored. And there is such abundance that it's even traded to various countries. And when the United States or other countries send food to places like India, it isn't because there's too many people there. It's because there's too much corruption, that the food does not reach those in need. You see, the problem with the picture of what God has placed here isn't the earth. It isn't the productivity of the earth. It isn't the aspect of being in dominion. It's sin in the hearts of men. It's corruption showing itself, this form of sin, in governments that by their greed will hold, and this is somewhat common, somewhat one of the natural things that relief organizations have to face is our supply of medicines and food and such, is it actually reaching the people? Because very often it's stolen. Very often it's warehoused and given to those who already have. See, the problem isn't the Lord and his make and his design of this. It's sin. Well, the Lord has made provision for sin, and we understand that because we are in Christ. And that leads me to the second portion of this message, which is the dominion of God's people for God's kingdom. And we see this in Matthew chapter 28 and the Great Commission, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, in which Jesus states, Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. One of the things that I myself have had to come to grips with is, do I believe that Jesus has all authority? There are some people who have a fear of the magistrate. They have the fear of being incarcerated. It's because they have this idea that if I follow the way of the Lord and there's a threat to that, it's opposed by my government or, you know, the rules, the law of the land. Now, I'm not just talking about the United States. That it's going to cost me more than I'm willing to give. I believe it's because they don't understand, as believers, they don't understand the authority that Jesus has. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And what this signifies is that there is no higher authority on earth. There is none. That there is no government. There is no leader, no president, no prime minister. There is no court in any land that is higher in authority than Jesus. You see, this is a similar picture to God, the Creator, on the sixth day making all things and then saying to man, "I have made you in my image and I give you dominion." Where Jesus now is saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I, the one with all authority, am sending you. How is he sending? He's sending them as disciples to make disciples. You are my followers, you are following in my footsteps, and you're going to make others who also follow in my footsteps. And I know that the Christian church, particularly in this country, has taken this to mean or concentrated this in the area of evangelism. This is talking about bringing people to Christ and having them understand their need for salvation and repent and turn to Christ. Amen. Yes, but it's more than that. It is more than just bringing people to the understanding of their need for salvation. It goes beyond this because Jesus says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. All that I've commanded you. What is the all? Well, here the Lord, the resurrected Jesus, the one who made atonement for us, is also saying, I have brought you to the point. I have brought you to the point of understanding that you are like Adam was. Not sinless, but you are set free. You are as Adam was before he fell and before he was. Before the diminishing of the image of God within him. And while we still face the normal things in life, the aging and the things that go along with age, we are a new creation in Christ. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I realize that this has a tendency to be something that, because you've heard this before, it's very easy to just sort of fly over your head. Okay, well, I'm a new creation in Christ. But this new creation is as Adam was, having dominion. I, the one who have all authority, I am sending you to make disciples, and these disciples will be like me. These disciples will be observant of the commands that I've given you. What are they? Well, it can be summed up in love. Yes, there's love. Love for God and love for our fellow man. Well, what does that translate into when you love your fellow man? There are many areas. In fact, it is all the areas of life. Including business, including economics, including the politics, including everything and anything where you go. You're going in Jesus' name, and you're going in the authority of Jesus, and you're going for the purpose of dominion, spiritual dominion. I realize that people have a problem with that because they have succumbed to the world's idea that when you're a Christian, it's okay to go to church and to do your thing, but just do it quietly. And it's sort of like a spiritual application of overpopulation. Well, you can only get so much. You can only believe so much of this. You see, there's so much evil in the world, and there's only so much we can do about it, because we're just to hang on and wait, have your bags packed, be ready, because Jesus is coming back and we're all gonna leave here. Well, I believe that in the meantime, while you're waiting for Jesus to return, you should be busy doing what he asks us to do. And yes, it involves evangelism, but it involves discipleship making. And discipleship making is the living out the Christ-centered life, the life of the Spirit, so that darkness is dispelled. So that which is corrupt is brought to light and fixed and addressed. And there is corruption in just about every area that man touches because of sin. And the objective of having dominion, spiritual dominion, is not that everyone becomes a Christian. That's not the goal. That's not the objective. The objective is that we bring the knowledge of God through all the earth. Romans chapter 1 talks about that the heavens themselves, the order, the natural order, gives man no excuse. It presents God and his attributes. Even his divine nature is shown that there is none who have excuse. It is the Christian. It is the one who is abiding in the Spirit and walking in Christ who demonstrates the power of God, who demonstrates the life that is centered on Him. It's not for self. It's to attract those that God is working in. And it is to influence your area, whether it's just your home or the school or your workplace, with the light of God, with the light of the gospel. Because you see, darkness is not supposed to hang around light. It's not supposed to exist when light is present. And Jesus himself has said to the multitudes, you do not hide a light under a bushel. But instead, you have it shine in the whole room. You put a city on a hill so that it is visible to all. That's how we are to be. That's the type of life that we're to have. We're not to be afraid of having this authority. We're not to be ashamed. We're not in any way to diminish the dominion that God has put on us, the call to dominion. We don't do that in the natural. What I mean by that is in what is natural for man, even apart from Christ. And we should not do that in the church or in the body of Christ. For this is what we are called to. Just quickly going to a number of passages. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul has some words for Pastor Timothy. Chapter 2, I'm reading from verses 1 through 5. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. This illustration that Paul gives regarding the soldier and the athlete, we understand that. A soldier is one who is under command. Soldiers are reminded, those in the military are reminded, you don't have a say as to many aspects of your life. This is what it is. This is the reality of what it is to be a soldier, to be in the military. And so if we are soldiers of the King, if we are soldiers of Christ, that's that similar relationship. That I can't simply say, well, Lord, I don't mind teaching people how to do this because I like this. I like going to church and dressing up and being with nice people, but I don't want to go to those people in those bad areas of town. I don't want to go to those who outwardly they look like they're bad people. They're addicted to drugs and all kinds of things, and I don't want to associate with them. And the Lord is saying, you're to go to them. You're to demonstrate my love to them. You're a soldier. You must consider that I have the authority, not you. We have an opportunity. Many churches in this nation have an opportunity to demonstrate the power and the authority and the love of Christ with this very issue that was talked about earlier. That we prayed on regarding gay marriage, and the whole issue of homosexuality and this alternate lifestyle. Yes, it is a perversion. Yes, it is sin, and it is an abomination in the eyes of God. And the church must understand the right response to the world. And the proper response is not, well, you know, we're modern now and we need to sort of bring them in and accept them as they are. That's not the right response. Because the authority and dominion is not ours, it's our King. So Jesus, what do you say? We need to love them because Jesus says we're to love our enemies. We're to love them. But we're to love them with the word. We're to love them with the truth. We're to have them to understand that it is not acceptable to embrace sin. Any sin, whether it's homosexual or adultery or lying, it is not acceptable to God. And our love for you is that you would come to repent and be set free from that. That is a proper response. That is having the understanding and the boldness. But is the church going to face that properly? I pray it will. But even if there is disagreement, even within the church, even if there's those that say, well, no, you can't do that because you're going to push them away, there will be that body that says, no, we will be faithful to the Lord. And we're not going to pay the fines that are going to be levied on us. We won't pay them. We'll go to jail. Because this is what we're called to. We're not afraid of the magistrate. We're not afraid of the laws. We are fearful of God. And we will continue to be faithful in this with gentleness yet boldness. That's only one area. Understanding that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not carnal. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10, I'm reading from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So the people of God have the authority of God and they have the weapons to engage in warfare. And this connecting with, as you are probably familiar with, Ephesians chapter 6, in which Paul again addresses the issue of warfare. And he says from verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Notice who the object of our defense is. The devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces and evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When God sends us out, or he is sending us out, he equips us with armament. And in equipping us with armament, he says, go in my authority. And you will face darkness. You will face rulers and authorities and powers in high places. You will face spiritual forces of evil, even in heavenly places. Without getting into all of the details of all of that, without getting wrapped up in what all of that specifically means, please understand that your authority addresses spiritual beings. The authority that you have been given is to address spiritual forces. And yes, these spiritual forces affect the hearts and minds of those that we interact with every day. Our struggle is not against them, flesh and blood, but it is against the forces that are interacting, that are influencing them. And so, yes, we will be opposed by the world. We will have a battle for righteousness. I've stated this before, and I state this in a different way again. The objective is not to make the United States all Christian. The objective is to combat darkness. We pray that the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, would convict of sin, for that is His ministry, and bring many to Christ. But we will be faithful in combating the darkness. We will be faithful in bringing righteousness to bear in the various areas of life, all the different areas of our society, of our culture, to have the Word of God on our lips, in our minds. Some will be called to act as direct apologists, defenders of the faith, in different ways. Others will be called to be salt and light, examples and protectors of young minds, of youth. You know, it's growing more common to have school systems adopting or taking in curriculum that in one way to put it, glorifies homosexuality. That even the youngest children, even in the early grades, are being exposed to acceptance of the gay lifestyle. And although it sounds like it's all against homosexuality and lesbianism and all of that, it is against the spirit that brings these things, because that is destructive. It's destructive to our society. It's destructive to the human family. And we're to bring the light of God, the power of God, in the midst of this situation and combat it. To engage in war. It is a defensive thing, it is an offensive activity, not just defensive. We are offensive to the world when we follow Christ faithfully. We are offensive. We need to get over that. We need to not apologize for being offensive to the world, because that is who Jesus is. Now, I know that some people go out of their way in order to be offensive, but that's not the role that Christ calls us to. He calls us to be faithful, to be bold and gentle. And we will come to understand that God has given us this position of authority, that we are to walk in that dominion just like man overall walks in the dominion given to him. And we are to reign with Christ even now, so that the influence of God is made known. The knowledge of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the seas. Do you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words which you have planted within my heart. Not for myself, O Lord, but in the bringing of clarity understanding of the mission that you call me to and others. That those who have heard these words would be encouraged and set on a path which is correct before you. That we are not to shrink back from the threat of the world. But you call us to your authority, and we're to walk in it faithfully. Father, in the things that we need to experience, and the things that words alone cannot convey, we entrust to your Spirit. Such things as suffering for your namesake. Things like counting the cost. Understanding our position. I pray, Father, that in the days ahead, that you would continue to give us your wisdom. And Lord, may we not just sit back and think, well, it's not so bad yet, so I don't need to get heavily involved. I pray, O Lord, that you condition our hearts, that we would be active even now. Thank you, Father. These things we commit to you for the sake and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.